Have we reached the COVID-19 curve, and will we know it when we see it? Plus, taking care of our mind, our emotions, as well as our bodies in the cities. The COVID-19 pandemic seems never ending. That's what we want to talk about on The Cities. What should you be doing to make sure this pandemic doesn't become too much for you and your family? More in a moment, but first, what does a peak in the numbers actually look like? Have we reached that threshold, and what happens after? The Chief Operating Officer of the Rock Island County Health Department, Janet Hill, joined us from the Health Department offices to talk about that. It's good to see you. I hope you're doing well as the staff over at the health department. Do you like the numbers that you're seeing so far in Rock Island County?
You know, we have seen a general decrease over the last week or so. We're reporting on Friday a little bit higher case count than we have the rest of the week, but generally we're starting to see smaller numbers.
When we're seeing these little spikes, some of these daily spikes, and mind you, they are few and far between, what does that mean? I mean, is it that some tests are coming from different locations, or are they actual spikes?
You know, it's a little too early to tell. When you're looking at data, you need a lot more time to notice trends. But I would say that it could be, that more people just got tested, or there's been a slight delay coming from the labs, or that maybe a facility had more testing capacity on one day than another.
Boy, and I tell you, you and I don't know how much of a statistician you are. I certainly am not one. But I mean, you can look at numbers any way, upside down, to the left, to the right, and interpret them differently. These numbers in Rock Island County, and to be perfectly honest, in the state of Illinois, and maybe even Iowa as well, to be honest, are really hard to get a real sense of, yes, there's a definite trend here.
You're absolutely right. When you're dealing with a relatively small number, and in Rock Island County, Friday, we're at 615 cases. So that's not a small number when you're thinking about people's lives, but when you're looking at statewide or even nationwide numbers, it is pretty small. So it is hard to establish trends.
But what we were setting out in early March to now that we're in mid-May was a flattening of the curve. And the whole theory behind that was we didn't want to have a spike in cases and overwhelm the hospitals. Have we succeeded?
You know, I think that we have, because we have not had for several weeks now just giant spikes. We were consistently reporting more than 20 cases daily, just for weeks at a time. And this week we had some smaller numbers. It remains to be seen whether Friday's 17 is just a little blip or if it's a trend. But we do know that social distancing and washing hands and the stay-at-home order and wearing masks have slowed the spread, and that was the entire goal. The health systems never have been overwhelmed, at least in our area. In other parts of the country, they were. But in our area, our hospital systems were able to treat the number of people who came in for care.
Well, and you know that skeptics are saying, okay, look, this is a sign that things really weren't that bad. We overreacted. We made it henny-penny, and we're all scared. The sky is falling. You know all of them. I'm sure you've heard them all yourself. What do you say to those skeptics who say, right, you just made this too big of a deal, and the media did as well?
Well, I'd say that you can't prove a negative. And so we don't know what would have happened if we would have kept society completely open. I have a pretty good educated guess that our relatively low numbers would not be low.
One of the things that we did notice on the statistics as well, because we always look at cases and sadly we look at the fatalities as well, but the big deal also was the hospitalizations. A week ago, there were about 21 people that were hospitalized in Rock Island County. That had fallen to 11 at one point this week. That seems to be a real pleasant number to see for you guys, is the hospitalizations falling.
That's right. And when people go into the hospital, unfortunately, they're not going home very quickly. We have had several patients on ventilators for a number of weeks, and so we are watching those case counts rather carefully. But I would say that the fact that we have dropped down to closer to 10 than 20 is very good news.
So tell me about that as far as the ventilators are concerned, because you said if you're on a ventilator, it tends to be that you're on for a while. I mean, what happens in these cases? It's not a short-term use of the ventilators then for some of these patients.
Well, I would say that that I'm not a medical provider, but I did talk to our chief nurse about this, who, before she came here, had worked in the hospital systems. And she explained to me, you know, how serious someone being on a ventilator is, and that eventually their body just stops working because the ventilator is doing all of the work for it. So then their muscles stop working, their diaphragm can no longer work. And that is when the physicians and the other medical professionals talk about multi-system organ failure with people on ventilators, that's what they mean.
And that is incredibly frightening. And we're seeing that some of these people, now mind you, you might be infected with COVID-19 and not know it. That's one extreme. The other extreme, as you said, entering ICU and being on a ventilator. It's what we're seeing from this pandemic is a huge disparity between some people's reaction to COVID-19 and others.
Right, I'd say that's probably the scariest part about this virus, is that some people don't know that they have it and are out infecting other people. That's why the stay-at-home orders were so important, because if you do not have symptoms, you do not know whether you are contagious. So, you know, everyone staying at home, whether they have symptoms or not, is how I believe we were able to flatten this curve.
Are we still seeing any hot spots, so to speak, in Rock Island County? Because we're worried about the nursing homes, the long-term care facilities, as well as what we've seen at the meatpacking plants in our area.
Those are not where all of our cases are coming from. Those are where the largest outbreaks are. As of yesterday, as of late this week, we had 118 cases coming from the Tyson plant, and it, you know, 118 and 615 cases total. So you can see that while that's a significant number, it most certainly is not all of them.
But also the nursing homes and the long-term care centers, they've been hit hard only because, let's be honest, people who are a little older, those that have pre-existing conditions,
right,
they're the ones that sometimes suffer the most.
That's right. We have seen throughout this pandemic that people who have pre-existing conditions are hit a lot harder than people who don't. But it, you know, that's why it's important that everyone takes it seriously, because even if you don't have a pre-existing condition, a person that in your family might have one, or perhaps someone that you even just walk by at the grocery store and, you know, could have it. And so you just need to be really careful.
Now, once again, you cannot give details, a great deal of details in regards to who the patients are because of federal regulations protecting privacy. But what you do is you give statistics, you give age areas, male or female, and you tend to give racial profiles to a certain extent. And what I noticed in some of the statistics that was interesting is this past week is that you did report two 10-year-old children, a male and a female. And I only bring that up only because you really have been trying to underline that anyone can get it.
And those children were not the youngest. We did have an infant younger than one contract this. And while generally speaking, children seem to have not been impacted as much as adults, we're now seeing that they have something called a multi-system inflammatory disorder. And we have not had any cases here, but the Illinois Department of Public Health put out a health alert this week asking physicians and nurse practitioners to watch for this. And it's very, very serious with these little ones. And as we've said all along, that even if a child is not very, very sick, they could be getting other people sick.
So tell me about this. Is this a new strain, or is it an offshoot from COVID-19, or where did this come from? Because it seems to be relatively new and, like you said, equally frightening.
It is. We don't really know yet where it came from. We have noticed some cases in Europe, and then there have been some cases in the U.S. where kids just have this inflammatory response. So they could have a rash, they have swelling of some extremities, their toes, and they run really high fevers. And it looks like other diseases, but it's not exactly like it. So, and they all have tested positive for COVID-19.
So there is that link. We just don't know much more about it. And that's kind of frightening when we start talking about whether or not we're going to open up schools in September. We need to know more about this particular illness.
That's right. I mean, it's important to remember that this is a novel coronavirus, which means it's brand new. And we just don't know. We don't know very much about it. And, you know, it only started in, you know, the late winter in a different part of the world. So we're just now learning the details about it.
And as you just said, it started in the winter. We've experienced it through the spring and now the late spring. The summer's coming, and you know people are itching to get outside. They're going to social distance as well as they can for the most part. But are you a little worried that people are going to start putting COVID-19 in the back of their mind and perhaps safety is not their prime concern?
You know, I am worried about that. We've worked so hard for the last 2 months to make sure that our hospital systems have not been overwhelmed and to keep people as well as possible. But, you know, we also did this in the early parts when the weather wasn't good. And now the weather is beautiful outside and people want to be outside. They want to have, you know, big barbecues and backyard parties. And, you know, it's until the May 29th at the earliest, Illinoisans are under a stay-at-home order still from the governor. And so that is the law of the land. Iowa went a different route, and I'm worried about seeing a spike in Iowa.
I also know that you're also worried about people who have pre-existing conditions. You may not know that the person that you're walking next to at the grocery store might be undergoing cancer treatment, or somebody has a suppressed immune system and you don't know that when you're walking by them. What are you saying to these people who have to believe in their own safety and their own health every single day of the year, and now even more so because of this virus?
Well, I would hope that they would have a social safety net to help them. Maybe someone else can go to the grocery store for them. That's another reason why it's really important for everyone to wear a facial covering. You know, my mask protects you and your mask protects me to the best of their ability. So how this disease is transmitted is through respiratory droplets. So when you're talking or you cough or you sneeze, the virus comes out of your body in these respiratory droplets and can fall onto someone else or could fall onto a surface. That's why it's so important to wash your hands a lot, you know, for at least 20 seconds with soap and water, or use hand sanitizer in between when you can't, and to wash frequently touch surfaces, because the virus can live on hard surfaces for, you know, up to a couple days in certain situations.
Janet Hill, Chief Operating Officer of the Rock Island County Health Department. As of this week, almost 60% of America has filled out the 2020 census. The Census Bureau says Iowa has the third best return rate behind Minnesota and Wisconsin. And Illinois is not far behind with the ninth best rate. But the most important person to count may be you. And have you been counted?
The census counts everyone in this country. And that really means everyone. A hospital patient, yes, that person counts. Newborn Benjamin, yeah, little Ben now counts. Two families that live in the same house, sure thing, they all count. Or David, who's living in his cousin Daniel's garage, he also counts. The census counts everyone to make things better for all of us.
Why should I care about the 2020 census?
Every 10 years, the census counts everyone living in the U.S.
Count everyone living with you.
Even kids!
Our numbers help shape funding and services.
For all these things.
That's a lot of stuff.
Your responses are safe and secure.
No matter who you are or where you're from.
We have reasons to care.
Shape your future. Start here at 2020census.gov.
We love the chance to introduce to you all types of music created by local artists around the cities. The drummer, who goes by the name Dead Ginger, has been creating music he says identifies with his inner soul. He joined us at the stage of the Black Box Theater in Moline. Here's Dead Ginger with Clarity to Chaos.
Thank you.
That's Dead Ginger with Clarity to Chaos, performing at the Black Box Theater in Moline. The coronavirus not only impacts our bodies, but it's probably getting you a little down as well. Perhaps there's issues of stress, or you feel a little swamped, making sure those around you have a lifeline. We talked with Robert Young psychologist Dr. Sam Marino about just that. I got to tell you the truth. I mean, people have been hearing COVID-19 all day, all night. You must be hearing people that are getting frustrated with all of this by now.
Well, yeah, there's all kinds of information out there that, you know, one after another that can be very stressful and very upsetting.
And very overwhelming, too. I mean, I would think that some of the patients you're seeing, it just ends up taking over so much of their emotions.
It sure does. Some of our folks that we work with have a lot of stress and anxiety prior to COVID-19. And so when this pandemic hits, it just increases everyone's stress. So even if you don't have a previous anxiety or depression, this can really have its toll on our mental health.
Dr. Marino, does it also have a toll because it's lasting so long? I mean, it's almost like there's no end in sight right now. We're heading into nice weather, which I guess helps us somewhat psychologically, the nicer weather, but then you still have kind of this gray cloud over our shoulders.
Well, sure. It kind of goes to, you know, we've never been able to predict the future, But when things are going okay, we kind of don't worry about that. Everything's okay. But under stress and something like this, the COVID-19, it just heightens our fear and anxiety, because we certainly don't know how long it's going to last and what's going to happen. And so when we pay attention to that day in and day out, it can really make us much more anxious, much more depressed, and affect our ability to sleep, our appetite, our relationships, because it just goes on and on. And so there are ways to cope with that. And that's what we try to encourage the folks that we work with.
I know
how do you cope with this significant?
Exactly. How do you cope with this? And I know every single person is different, but can you give us like a tip or two when it comes to a person who feels like they're a little overwhelmed right now?
Sure. A couple of things. One is the thing is that you're right, it's not going to last forever. And so knowing that, but then focusing on what you can do. What can you control? You can manage the guidelines and do social distance, wear masks, stay at home. But you can also focus in on what's around you. What kind of tasks that you can do around the house or outside, you know, taking advantage of weather like today, being able to go outside and appreciate. I was just talking to someone outside, and when you look around, it looks like everything's okay. I'm not paying attention to social media or all the news, and we can just focus in on what's happening in our immediate surroundings. And that can be very, very beneficial. It's hard to do when we're constantly hearing and thinking about all the unpleasant restrictions that we have to tolerate.
Well, and let's be honest, there's a lot of people who also are taking care of not only themselves, but other people who might have more frailty with their mental health, or they're taking care of children and keeping their spirits up. What do you say to those caregivers or people who don't even realize actually that they're caregivers right now?
That's right. I talked to many folks that are taking care of children or being aware of their grandparents or their elderly parents. We can only do what we can do. We can provide lots of verbal support. We can get groceries for them. We can provide some minimal services, but constant daily contact on the phone or with Skype or any of those kinds of things to let folks know that we care about them. Our children need activities, need to be able to go outside and run around the house maybe, or in the house, up and down the stairs, ways to do fun, creative activities that change the pace, that get us up off the couch and doing something that is a little bit more pleasant and distracting.
Explain to me what's being done now for people who need that safety net, whether or not it is overcoming a drug problem or alcohol problem or some kind of group therapy that you're having. Are you still able to do that? And what do you suggest to people who really do need some of that extra help, that safety net right now?
Sure. The Robert Young Mental Health Center has a variety of options for folks calling in, and we can set up fairly quickly appointments to help people. We can talk to them over the phone. We've done a lot of phone therapy as well as video therapy. Most of our therapists are able to do that now. We had to gear up pretty quickly to do that. And some of our group therapy programs are doing social distance, where we limit the number of people, doing all the social distance precautions and masks and sanitizing areas. So we have limited capacity, but we're still able to provide those services for those folks that need them. So being able to call the hospital, the Unity Point hospitals, the emergency rooms, or the Robert Young Center on this side of the river, and I'm sure Genesis and Vera French on the Iowa side have similar access to those kinds of support programs. We've always had crisis lines, crisis telephone lines for folks with suicide or depression. And so we're using those, expanding those services. So you need not be suicidal or major depression, but just need to talk to someone about anxiety and how you're coping with situations in your home or with your family.
All right, thank you so much, Dr. Samuel Marino, psychologist with the Robert Young Center. I appreciate your time. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too.
Dr. Sam Marino from the Robert Young Center. Now, if you feel overwhelmed, reach out to the Robert Young Center or Unity Point Trinity Health in the Illinois Quad Cities or the Vera French Center and Genesis Health in the Iowa Quad Cities. The helplines you see on your screen are open now and stay open 24/7. And we invite you to explore our coronavirus resources and information anytime at WQPT. We have regional content with links for Illinois, Iowa, and national resources. For parents and families, we're pleased to share a variety of content for home learning, family activities, and much more. And for educators, we're pleased to offer content about navigating through distant learning, lesson planning, and more. It's all made possible by viewers like you. So please know that we are here to serve you and our shared communities in any way we can. On the air, on the radio, on the web, and on your mobile device, thanks for taking some time to join us as we talk about the issues on the cities.